I want us to open our Bibles together, please, in the book of Genesis, and the chapter is a chapter 46. That is Genesis and the 46th chapter. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy word. That's Genesis chapter 46, and we commence to read at the verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's infallible word together, please. And Israel took his journey with all that he had, and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in a vision of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father, and their little ones and their wives in the wagons, which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. Verse number 28. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade had been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. Came to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, What is your occupation? That ye shall say, Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. We end our reading there, and God will truly add his blessing to his word. And yet we're going to ask the Lord to do that afresh as we bow in reverence before him in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we bow before thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank thee for thy goodness in bringing us to thy house. We thank thee for the measure of health and strength that we have to come to the house of God. We thank thee, O God, for the ability to come and join with our friends and our loved ones and our neighbors and gather our voices and blend our hearts together in worship of thee, a righteous and a holy God. We thank thee for all the provision that thou hast made for sinners like me in the cross work of Jesus Christ. We thank thee that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, thy lovely Son, our Savior, he paid it all. And it's all to Christ we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but the blood of Jesus washed it white as snow. Bless us now as we study thy word and do our hearts good. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for his glory. Amen and amen. As we turn to this 46th chapter of the book of Genesis in the life and the study in the life of Joseph, we think of his father Jacob, and he has heard that Joseph was still alive. He has heard the words that Joseph had given to his brothers that they were to rehearse in their father's ears. And then they had saw the wagons that Pharaoh and Joseph had provided to bring Jacob down into the land of Egypt. And as he hears those words and as he sees those wagons, Jacob determines in his heart
that he would see his son Joseph before he died. And so, as we have already studied, he prepares himself for the journey and all of his family, and he moves toward Egypt, or comes to Beersheba. And when he comes to Beersheba, he stops there. He's about to take his entrance into the land of Egypt. He comes to that moment, but before he does so, he is offering a sacrifice to God, and he worships God before finally stepping out of Canaan and into Egypt. You see, Egypt had bad memories for the family of Jacob. He remembered what happened to others there, what happened to Abraham, that giant of faith, and how that he fell there, how that he lied about his wife Sarah and said that she was only his sister, and the dangers that that had brought to his beloved Sarah. God protected Sarah. God protected Abraham as well as Sarah. And yet we find that the ungodly Pharaoh at that time rebuked Abraham for his faithlessness. Jacob had also been warned in a vision in Genesis chapter 15 about the evils that would happen in future days down there in Egypt. And so you can understand his apprehension. You can understand his fears as he thought about these things. And he trembled to take that step into Egypt, lest he step out of the will of God. You know what the amazing thought is this, friend? Not even the desire to see his beloved Joseph, the one that he really loved with all his heart, that son Joseph, that he had missed for over 20 years and thought that he was dead, and now he hears he was alive. And yet not even that was enough to make Jacob step out of Canaan into Egypt, except he knew that he was in the center of the will of God. My friend, it is so important that you and I be willing to wait upon the Lord, not desire to take a step ahead of God, but be willing to be disciples or followers of the Master. And that is why that Jacob was willing to stop at Beersheba. He raised the altar. He sacrificed unto the Lord. And in so doing, he was acknowledging two things. He was acknowledging God's past blessing and God's past faithfulness to himself and to his fathers. And he was also acknowledging he needed the guidance of the Lord before he would step into the land of Egypt. Oh, that God's people would take the care to seek the face of God, to know the mind of God, to know the will of God before running ahead of God, as even others in the scriptures, in the book of Genesis and through the scriptures did, and paid the price of discipline in their lives. Now, having thought about that, we think about and go to chapter 46, it says in verse 2, and God spake unto Israel in the vision of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And here we see his sending. God spake in the vision of the night. God didn't answer as he stood there at that sacrifice and at that altar. God didn't give them the answer immediately. But it was in a vision in the night that God spake unto and called unto Jacob. And he said, Jacob, Jacob. And thank God, when God spoke to him, he had a ready listener. My friend, he was ready to listen, even in the night vision. Thank God, immediately it says here, in verse number 2, it says, and Jacob said, here am I. He says, here am I, Lord. I'm ready. I'm ready to do whatever you want, Lord. I'm ready to do your command. And friend, the only response that you and I can give to the command of God that is acceptable to God is say, here am I, Lord. Because I've not only listened, I've not only heard, but God, I am willing to do. But notice, my friend, in the sending of Jacob, something wonderful happens here. Because you see, in this vision in the night, not only did God say, Jacob, Jacob, but go to verse 3. And God said, I am God. I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Now, I want you to notice some simple little things here in this message that God gave after he called to Jacob, and Jacob said, "Here am I, Lord, I'm listening. I'm listening." And this is what God said to him. First of all, you notice in the message, you see God's preeminence. The first thing that God said, "Listen, Jacob, I am God, the God of thy fathers." And the opening statement is linked to a covenantal statement, "I am the God of thy fathers." He says, "I am the great Jehovah. I am God. I am the mighty one. I am the mighty one. And I am God, the God of thy fathers." Do you know what he's saying to him? He says not only that he was the Almighty God, that he was Jehovah, but he said, "I am the God of thy fathers, the faithful God of thy fathers." He said, "Listen, I have been faithful to your fathers, and you know you can rest assured that as I have been faithful to your fathers, I will be faithful unto thee." And friend, let me tell you, in that vision that night, what an encouragement, what a blessing, what an encouragement to this man who was saying, "God, I don't want to take a step out of your will." And here was God immediately stepping in. He says, I am the great Jehovah, the Almighty God, but I am the God of thy fathers. And thy fathers proved that I was faithful to them. And Jacob, you can be sure that I will be faithful unto thee. You remember whenever Moses, God's servant, died and he was buried there on the mount, and only God attended that funeral? My friend, you remember whenever God called Joshua, and Joshua was willing, or was taking up the leadership of the children of Israel and taking them out into the land of promise. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, this is what God said to Joshua. He said, "Listen," or verse number 5, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." My friend, in verse number 7, God goes on to Joshua and he says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." And the end of verse number 8, he says, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." I am the Lord. I am God. Jacob, I'm God. Joshua, I will not fail thee because I am God, the God of thy fathers. Thank God, my friends. What he was saying is this: Jacob, I know there are difficulties that are facing you. I know there are problems that you'll have to face, but remember this. Get your eyes upon me. I am God. I am the faithful God. I am the Almighty God. I am the God that thy fathers proved in their days. You see, the power that Moses had was not of himself. It was of God. The power that Joshua needed was indeed of God and not of man. The power that Jacob needed to make a successful journey down into Egypt was of God and not of man. Yes, Jacob was apprehensive about the journey, but my friend, God gives him this wonderful assurance. Listen, Joshua, or Jacob, remember this. I am God. You can depend upon me. Get your eyes upon me. And I'm saying to everyone this morning, get your eyes upon the Lord. I want to tell you, the Lord won't disappoint you. The Lord won't let you down. The Lord will not fail you. That's what he said to Joshua. I will not fail you. He says, I will not forsake you. My, what promises, what encouragement. As you and I go into a weekend, not one of us know what it holds for us. But thank God we have the faithful God, God's preeminence. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The message of ascending was this, God's preeminence. But then he noticed something else, God's peace. Because the next thing he said was this, fear not. Fear not to go down into Egypt. And why did God say that, friend? Because he knew that Jacob was afraid. He was afraid of stepping out of the will of God. He was afraid of running ahead of God. He was afraid that his love for Joseph would be so great, it would pull him into Egypt, whether God wanted him to go or not. God knew that he was afraid. He was an old man. He was afraid, not knowing what the journey would lie ahead for him on the journey. Thank God he sought God with a proper attitude. And God answered and God said, Jacob, you don't need to fear. You don't need to be afraid. Because the next step you're taking is in my will. And so therefore he says, fear not to go down into Egypt. And maybe there's some of you afraid. Maybe you're starting out into the next step of the journey, friend, and you don't know the way completely ahead. You don't know what where it's going to take you or what it'll mean. I want to tell you what God says. For those that are walking in the center of God's will, listen, fear not. For even if it's down into Egypt, friend, God will look after you there. Just as God looked after his children in Caesar's palace, thank God God's able to look after you. Just as God looked after Daniel in the lion's den. Just as God looked after the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. This mighty God, this sovereign God of heaven, oh, that we would see that we have a great God. We don't need to fear because one with God is a majority, friend. But let's be humble before him because God's descending here was God's preeminence and then God's peace. You know, doing God's will bring peace to your heart. Walking in the center of God's will, friend, even in days of trial, he gives me peace, even in the midst of the storm. Then notice something else. Not only is there God's preeminence in this message, not only is there God's peace, but listen, there's God's promises. Because notice what God says here. This. He didn't only say, fear not to go down. This is what he said. I will there make of thee a great nation. Now notice what he said. He says, I will there. Down there in Egypt, listen, he didn't say, if you stay at Beersheba, I will make you a great nation. He says, no. He says, I will make you a great nation there. Down there in Egypt, I'm going to make you a great nation. Friend, let me tell you, that was fulfilled. That was fulfilled. Just turn your over to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 1, and it tells me in verse number 9, in Exodus chapter 1, and he said unto his people, behold, this is Pharaoh was speaking unto his Egyptian people, and it says this, he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. There was the fulfillment of God's promise. Down there in Egypt, the Egyptian even could see that the people of Israel were more and mightier than even those in Egypt. Why? Because this was the fulfillment of God's promise. Verse number 10, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when they fall, there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. You see, friend, God's promises were fulfilled. He says, I will. Not I might, but he says, you go down into Egypt. And God says, I will make you a great nation. And then verse 4, I will go down with thee. You see, there's not only the promise here of population, and I will make you a great nation, but there's a promise of presence here. And God says, I will go down with thee. And friend, let me tell you, We say, you know, anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below, I can tell you, my friend, that is a precious promise that God says, listen, I will be with thee. And I want to tell you, that was fulfilled. That promise was fulfilled. You know, the presence of the Lord is what we need. As long as we know we have the Lord with us, then we can face anything. In the book of Exodus, chapter 33, in verse number 15, what did Moses say? It says there in verse 15, chapter 33, verse 14, and God says, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry me not up hence. Friend, that's all he wanted. He says, as long as I know that I've got the presence of the Lord, and friend, you have the presence of the Lord when you're walking in the will of the Lord. And God has promised, he says, listen, when you go down, Jacob, he says, I'll make you a great nation, but he says, I'll go down with you. God wasn't sending him down, friend. God was going with him. Let me tell you, my friend, whatever the journey is that God has for you, if you're walking in the center of God's will, I want to give you something in the name of the Lord, friend, that not only will God send you, but where God sends you, God will go with you. God will go with you. My, what encouragement. What an encouragement. What a blessing to his soul to spur him on. Yes, that was essential, the presence of the Lord. And then God said to him, notice the place. He said, listen, I will go down with thee, verse 4. And he says, I will also surely bring thee again. He says, you're not going to stay there. There's going to come a day when you're going to come out of that land again. And God says, I will surely bring thee up again. He gives him a wonderful promise of the place he was going to return to Canaan. And friend, let me tell you, that too was fulfilled. That was also fulfilled in Genesis chapter 50. If you go to the last chapter of the book of Genesis and go to verse number 13, it says this, and his son carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abram bought with a field for a possession of the burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. And Joseph returned into Egypt. Friend, let me tell you, God says, "Let me. Not only are you going down there, not only am I sending you, and not only will I go with you, but God says, I promise you, I'll bring you up again. I'll bring you up again. Now, let me tell you, my friend, it was his old, broken, aged body that was brought up again, but God kept his promise. God kept his promise. I don't know what lies ahead for you or for me, my friend, but I'll tell you, we have a covenant-keeping God. And God will keep the last word of his promise. You can rest in the assurance of God's promise. God will not fail the promise that he has made. He said, I want to tell you, I'm sending you down. I'm going with you. And he says, I'm going to bring you up again. And God did it. And then God says this, verse 4, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Here's the person. Your beloved Joseph, Jacob. You're going to see him again, and Joseph is going to be the one that will close your eyes. He's the one that will perform the last office of affection. He's the one that will close your eyes. You see, as the birthright heir, Joseph had the honor of doing this. And whenever the old man died and the shutters of life were closing down, Joseph reached over to his father. And they pulled down his eyelids. His father was gone. Let me tell you, friend, all that God promised, he fulfilled. We could sing the hymn this morning, standing on the promises of Christ our King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest. I'll shout and I'm going to sing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, friend, claim the promises that God has given. Rest upon them. Stand upon them. Believe them. There was a sending. But notice verse 5, his strengthening. You see, with such a sending, this is what it says, and Jacob rose up. And Jacob rose up. That reminds me of old Abram. Do you remember whenever God said to Abram, he says, take your son, and I want you to put him on the altar there in Mount Moriah. And I want you to offer him as a sacrifice unto me. And Abram loved his son. His only son of love, a covenant son, which God had given him, the son of promise. And he says, Abram, I want you to go to Mount Moriah. This is what it says. And Abram rose early in the morning and took his son. You know, that morning, I tell you, if it had been you and me, you said, please, Lord, let me lie on. Let me linger on. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't put Isaac on the altar. It says, he rose early. He rose early in the morning because he believed God. And even, friend, when you and I cannot see, let me tell you this, God's way is the best way. He knoweth the best. And the Bible says this, once God gave him these promises, once God had assured him of his peace, once God had turned his eyes upon his preeminence, I am God, the God of your fathers, your faithful God. It says this, Jacob rose up from Beersheba. And the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones and their wives and the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took the cattle, their cattle, and they came, verse 6, the end of it, and they came into Egypt. There's his strengthening. Because on the basis of God's promises, and the basis of God's providence, friend, immediately. Now, let me tell you, you see, when God makes the way clear, when God shows you what you have to do, there's only one thing to do, do it. Do it. When God opens the door, friend, in God's name, go through it. See, but oh God, there's dangers on the other side of the door. If God has called you, friend, God will look after the dangers, or God will give you the grace. Whatever's through that gate or that door. And so, God had made his way clear. And now he can trust God. Notice the unity of purpose, friend. Because remember this, not only did Jacob rise up, but the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And there they headed down Egypt, not knowing what lay ahead, but they were willing to go. And from verse number 8 to verse 27, it reminds us, because God gives the names of all those that are going, and the families. And that reminds us, friend, that God knows and God cares for his people. Even when you see how God records the order of generations, and how God has a fulfillment of his plan and his program through these families, that ought to bless your heart. You know, we can trust him because he knows what he's doing. The family of Jacob left with little, friend, obeying God. Because remember, there was a famine. There's little. And yet, you know what God did? God brought them back a mighty nation. Why? Because Jacob believed God. Because God had chosen them. God had set his electing love upon them. And God can use even days of adversity. And that's what happened down there in Egypt, friend. God even used days of adversity to build up a people. And deliver a people and bring them back home. Now very quickly, let's move to verse number 28 now. Because that's what comes to his scheme. It says in verse 28, and Jacob sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. And you see, as the family of Jacob came near to Egypt, Jacob sent Judah ahead of him to inform Joseph that they were approaching Egypt. Now, friend, that was a wise action. That was a wise action because Joseph wouldn't know when they were coming. And so, therefore, this old man wanted everything to be done decently and in order to give Joseph the opportunity to get ready for the meeting. And that's exactly what happened because it says in verse number 29, "And Joseph made ready." And Joseph made ready his chariots and went to meet Israel, his father. Notice it says here he went to meet Israel, his father. It didn't say he went to meet Jacob. Jacob, remember, was the twister. Israel was the prince with God. Joseph was this greatest man, the second greatest man in Egypt. But the word of God gives Jacob the title which God gave him there at that brook whenever he wrestled with the angel. You're Israel, a prince with God. And Joseph, the man, the second man in authority, was coming to meet a prince, his father. And to do so, he made himself ready. Friend, let me tell you, you've got a meeting coming up. And you're going to meet somebody greater than Joseph. You've got to meet God. Tell me, are you ready for the meeting? Now, the Bible tells us here that Jacob sent Judah to tell Joseph so he could make himself ready. And friend, let me tell you, that's what God has told me. That's what God has sent our brother McKee and myself to do in this pulpit, to tell you there is a meeting. And you've got to make yourself ready for the meeting. Prepare to meet thy God. And that's what Joseph did. He was meeting a prince with God. And friend, we are meeting the King of glory, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Oh, that you'd be ready. You know, it's interesting and right that he chose Judah. He wasn't going to let Benjamin away from his side. No, he did that once, and he was so glad to get Benjamin back. But who else of the family could he trust to go to tell Joseph? Only Judah. And I'll tell you why. Because, you see, it was Judah. It was Judah that offered himself as Benjamin's surety. Way back in chapter 43. Whenever his father didn't know whether to send Benjamin or not, he was struggling, he was battling within his heart, what will I do? He did not want to send him. And Judah says, Father, he said, if anything happens, I'll be his surety. I'll be Benjamin's surety. And his father knew he could trust. He could trust Judah. In actual fact, Benjamin could say, Father, you know, Judah was willing to become Joseph's slave in order that I would go free and come home to you. He was the one that Jacob could trust. Friend, let me ask you, can God trust you and me to do as well? Can God trust you and me to be his messenger? Because that's what Judah was to be. As Jacob's messenger, tell Joseph that I'm coming. We're going to meet. And so therefore, he was the only son outside of Benjamin that Jacob could really trust. And so that's what he does. He sent Judah before him. Then verse 29, we have a showing, very quickly. And you know, in verse 29, there's brief words here, but it says, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen and presented himself unto him. And this is all the Holy Ghost really says about this meeting, this moment. He fell on his neck and he wept on his neck a good while. Brief words. But what a reunion. What a reunion that must have been. I'm sure not only had Joseph longed for that, I'm sure many times that Joseph had dreamed about that day over the past 22 years. And here on the one hand, we have the splendor and the strength of this mighty Joseph. And on the other hand, the aged, famine-stricken father. But notice the respect, friend. Joseph fell on his neck. Joseph presented himself to him. That's to his father. It wasn't Jacob presented himself to this great Joseph. It was Joseph who presented himself to his father. And it says, Joseph fell on his neck and wept on his father's neck a good while. What respect. What love. What tenderness. The second most important man on the planet, friend. Because that was true. Not only in Egypt. On the earth. The second most important man on the earth. And he humbles himself in respect and love and tenderness for his father. Let me tell you young people something before we step further. You remember the commandment of God. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth that the Lord thy God giveth thee. And you know, he was the second most important man on the planet, but listen, he was just Jacob's son. That day they met. Now notice, and with this I'm going to close, because there's little thoughts here. Notice his elegance. Because it says in verse 29, he presented himself. He presented himself. Now, if you go to chapter 47, verse number 2, it says this. And Joseph took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them. Notice that word, presented. This is the same. It's not the same word. It's not the same meaning. Because in actual fact, there's a different meaning of those two words. Although it's presented in both of those in the English, yet in their original, there's a difference. Because in verse 29 of chapter 46, it says that Joseph presented himself. In other words, Joseph was careful to appear before Jacob, and he presented himself in his honor and his glory, which under God, that God had given him down in Egypt. That word meant, in actual fact, that word presented is generally used in the scriptures regarding the appearance of God. The appearance of God. And he presented himself, friend. He didn't do so in pride. He didn't want to say to his father, look at me, I am the mightiest man, now fall at my feet. But he did present himself. He indicated the glory which God had given him down there in Egypt to be a blessing to his father when he was meeting his father. You see, the scriptures forbids pride. This wasn't pride. Although he presented himself in his glory and in his honor. Turn to the book of Proverbs and let me just give you a few verses. I'm only giving you these. This is what the Word of God says about pride. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Let me tell you, friend, pride is not only one of the deadly sins, it's the deadly sin. It was pride that was in the heart of the devil, or that angel, which cast him out of heaven and threw him into hell. God hates pride. He hates it. And he says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Turn to chapter 13 of Proverbs. Look at verse number 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. I wish you had time to go into all of these and give you just an exposition of these. But friends, just you take them. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Chapter 21, Proverbs, verse number 4. An high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Friend, we could go on. See what pride did to Pharaoh. See what pride did to Naaman. See what pride did to Haman. See what pride did to Nebuchadnezzar. See what pride did to Belshazzar. The Word of God tells us about the arrogance of pride, the conceit of pride, the haughtiness of pride, the boasting of pride. Whenever Joseph showed himself in his elegance, this was not a proud heart. But he was showing his father. He appeared to his father. He presented himself in his honor and the glory which God had given him there in Egypt. And remember, everything Joseph gave God the glory for. He brought God into it all. But notice not only his elegance, notice his embrace. It says this, Joseph fell on his neck. Friend, what a loving embrace that was. You know, Joseph dearly loved his father. Do you know it's never recorded in the scriptures about the embrace of the 10 other brothers to their father? It's never recorded as embracing Jacob like that. You know why? Because they lacked love. They were willing to break their father's heart rather than love him. And it was all over pride because they weren't willing to accept God's will concerning Joseph. But pride comes before a fall. It says this, he presented himself, he fell on his neck, and then notice his emotion. He wept on his neck a good while. Can you imagine all the grief of over 20 years? And friend, as he threw his arms around his father, the father that he wondered would he ever see again. And he threw his arms around his father, and the dam of tears broke. The sorrow, the agony of those years. Remember this, friend. His brothers, all over those years, they went about their business and they didn't care. But many nights Joseph sat and wept himself to sleep, praying, longing to see his father again. And so it says simply, he fell on his neck and he wept on his neck a good while. Notice his elation, verse 30. Nearly finished. And Israel said unto Jacob, or Joseph, now let me die. let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art still alive. Friend, Joseph wasn't asking God to take him here. He was just simply expressing his great joy, his great grief. I'm happy to die. I'm happy to go home to God, because I've met my beloved Joseph again. His cup was full. It was running over. Now let me tell you, 17 more years he had to live after this. God gave him 17 more years. But he was happy to go. Do you remember what old Simeon said in the scriptures? When he held the Savior in his arms, as Mary brought him to the temple, he said this, "Now lettest thy servant depart in peace." I'm ready. I'm happy to go, for I've seen the Lord. Friend, I can tell you, the joy of that meeting. And that's what he's saying. Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art still alive. But listen, friend, listen to me as I close. The joy of that meeting's nothing compared to the joy of meeting our Savior someday. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face. What will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? Only faintly now I see him, for there's a darkening veil between. But thank God there's a glorious day that's coming when his beauty shall be seen. And here's the old man, and he looks into the face of Joseph. He says, "I'm happy to die, for I've seen your face." What a meeting, friend. What a meeting when the saints of God meet Jesus. But friend, what a meeting for those that know not the Lord and hear from his lips the words of the Savior, "Depart from me, you cursed. I never knew you. May God save you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank thee for thy precious word afresh this morning. Pray that you'll bless it to all of our hearts. Oh God, may there be that elation in our hearts as we contemplate the day of meeting our Savior face to face. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon the face, his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And he'll take me by the hand and lead me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that's going to be. Oh God, I pray, save the last one of our loved ones we ask of thee. Close every mom and dad, every son, every daughter, every grandchild, every brother, every sister. Close the last one in with Christ, for Jesus' sake. Amen.